let me just start by saying to all of our alumni who are back on campus with us today, welcome. We are so glad that you're here. God bless you. We have been looking forward to this day and are just honored that you have taken the time and the energy and effort to be here with us today for this couple days of just reunion and celebration, and we're glad that you're here and just started off with this very first chapel with us. There is, we applauded for you, but let me have all of our alumni who are with us, would you please stand? Just stand so all the students can get a look at you and see where you are. Hey, Will. Good to see you. All right. It is nice to have all of you back on campus, and we've got just a couple days of activities. The afternoons, we kind of leave it kind of free, but when we're done with this chapel service, if all of the alumni, please plan to head over to the cafeteria and eat lunch with us today and join us for lunch over there. And then at 2 o'clock this afternoon, we have some campus tours that are planned for you. We've just, in the last 5 months, just done some major renovating on the campus and a new commuter center that's been developed for our commuter students, new dorms, renovations in the rooms. And we want to show you what you've helped us to do through your prayers and through your financial support. So join us for that. And then tonight at Central Assembly, a great alumni banquet. And tonight's purpose is to kind of focus on those among us who have become missionaries and gone to the foreign countries of the world. And we're going to honor those, that segment of our alumni tonight in a very special banquet at Central Assembly at 6:30. And then tomorrow back in chapel for another service. And then luncheons tomorrow planned at different restaurants for the different decades. And then tomorrow night, the first home basketball game of a very exciting year for us. Yeah. This year, Central Bible College gets to host the national tournament for Division II. We get to, before that, host the regional tournament for our league of basketball teams. And we also, this year, get to host the Assemblies of God Classic Tournament. So it's a big year. And we kick it off tomorrow night with the help of all the alumni. Now, alumni, we've got T-shirts for you so you can be in the spirit again, and we just thank you. Now, I know that you've sensed some things have changed. Some Bowie's not there anymore, and the water tower's not there anymore. But I also hope that you've already sensed that there are some things that are still the same. And this is my 7th year here, and each year it is so exciting as the freshman class comes in that the only thoughts are, God, you did it again. You called another generation to the cause of the kingdom, and here they come. And year after year, I've been witnessing that and just joyed. And just as God called you, in whatever year or decade that was, He is still in the kingdom of choosing and putting His hand on people, young men and young women, and calling them to ministry. And that new crop is sitting all around you today. And then I hope you also sense the Spirit is still the same. It's the same Spirit of God that rests in this place and in these chapel services. And we're glad that you're here to be a part of it. Now, there's one other segment of our alumni that I want to take just a moment to recognize. And that is, during this homecoming, the alumni board members are also on campus holding a semi-annual meeting. And they've been in meetings this morning. And these are representatives, 3 or 4 from every decade, people from all the way from California back to, I think, even the East Coast, maybe that Boston, where? That Boston World Series champs leaders, yeah, right here. So from coast to coast and decade to decade, we have representation on our alumni board. They're sitting right here in these front rows. I want the alumni board members to stand so we can acknowledge them and their service. These these are former students who are now back and serving in a capacity of trying to figure out how to be the best blessing to you current students that they possibly can. These individuals and their predecessors have raised over $130,000 that's in an endowment earning interest for scholarships that they give away every year. They talked this morning about plans and activities and announcements that they could do that would help lift the burden of the cost of education off of your shoulders. And these are people that you may not know, but I will just tell you they are big friends of yours. And as you see the alumni board members, make sure you introduce yourself and thank them for the service that they're providing for this college and the kingdom. One announcement, and that is that we have a couple pastors who are on campus to begin interviewing for ministry positions that are available. The job fair starts Friday, and there are two specific pastors, Nick Poole from Pennsylvania. Nick, would you stand, please? Over here. And this is for tomorrow, but is Steve Miller here today? Steve, are you here? Okay, so Steve Miller and Nick Poole will be in the cafeteria tomorrow over lunchtime wanting to talk to you about ministry positions that are open. If you're ready for that, please make sure that you look them up and talk to them. In just a moment, Roberta Crabtree is coming to lead us in our morning prayer, but there is one video announcement before that, so let's watch this announcement regarding next week's activities with College Days.
Corinthians, Paul said that his disciples were living letters, known and read by everyone. As a Christian, you're a living letter, written by Christ, not with ink but with the Spirit. Your life is a message from the Creator of the universe to a world that's lost its way. Central Bible College has been sending living letters since 1922 and has sent more than 28,000 letters around the world, each of them unique. CBC students are developed in every area of their life, heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want you to help prospective students from around the country see how CBC can be part of their story November 15th and 16th. See enrollment services for more information on how you can get involved.
If you'll bow your heads with me. This morning we are to pray. Your alumni of the week or the day that we're praying for is Kendra, who was a Miller, now married to Todd Willis. And they are serving as Director of Children's Services in Indiana. Father, we come to you, first of all, just praising you. We love you, Father. We are so thankful that we have been privileged, we have been called by you, that we have come to know you as our personal Savior. Somebody, somewhere, was the one that brought us to this point of salvation in our own lives. Maybe it was our parents. Maybe it was a high school friend or a neighbor. And now, Lord, you are commissioning us to go out and to tell others, to win others, Father. Every young person sitting in this room today is here because they have a desire to serve you and to reach the lost for you. I bring a couple before you right now, Kendra and her husband Todd, who are working with children in Valparaiso, Indiana. We don't know the problems that they may be having. There may be a child there that they can't figure out just how to serve that child and what the answer is to the problems that are there. Lord, give them supernatural wisdom. Give them strength that can only come from you, Father. I pray that they will feel the effects of our prayer, that they will just have that strength that they need to continue what they're doing. Lord, I pray for our alumni around the world. Some are in very desperate places. May, Father, they be just strengthened by you, strengthened by the fact that you have promised that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. This morning, I want to pray for the Rosenbergs as they come, that you will just minister through Pastor Hugh. Father, that you will speak to our hearts, that not only is our heart going to be open, our mind is going to be open, we're going to shut the things out, Father, that would distract, and we are going to hear from you. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for all that's been accomplished through their lives, Father. And we just pray that you will bless as they come today. And Father, I just want to pray as a grandma this morning. I want to pray for the young men and the young women that are sitting here before me. Lord, I have a burden for them. Lord, I pray that they'll make good decisions. I pray, Father, that they're going to be strengthened in you, and they're going to learn in the classroom. They're going to make friendships that are going to last through a lifetime. But more than anything, Father, I pray that they're going to meet you. They're going to know the power of Pentecost. Amen. They will never, Father, have to wonder someday in their ministry, was Pentecost real? Because they will have known. Father, I remember those days. I remember that powerful revival we had. I know, Father, that your power does not change. You will minister in different ways to different generations, Lord, but your power does not change. And my prayer for this campus, Lord, is that that power of Pentecost will be experienced here. Lord, that they will know when they leave these grounds, as they become alumni, Lord, that your power is with them, that you are there to minister in and through them, no matter what their circumstances. And we go with you and we give you praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory, Father, for what is being accomplished and what will be accomplished through the alumni of CBC. Amen.
Just let me make it extra clear, when I invited you to lunch, that includes the offer to pay. So alumni, when you come to lunch, tell them you're alumni at the gate, at the door, at the cash register, and they'll let you in for free, and we'll take care of that expense today. Okay. The second thing I need to do, oh, thank you. Thank you. After the thousands of dollars you gave us as tuition, at least we can buy you lunch, right? There is one other big announcement that I wanted to be able to make today. This was not on the schedule, but we were able to get things together, and that is recently there was a vacancy created in the executive director position for our alumni association. We have been holding interviews and receiving resumes, and late yesterday afternoon we were able to reach a decision and made a decision in regards to replacement. And that individual is with us today, and I would like to be the first to publicly announce that our new executive director for alumni relations is Kathy Arnett. Kathy, if you would stand, please, so everybody could see who's going to be. She will start duties about the middle of November, but we are very excited about bringing her on and letting her take charge of this viable, exciting ministry to our alumni, and we thank God for Kathy. Lord bless you, Kathy. Present.
It is my distinct privilege this morning to welcome Hugh and Joni Rosenberg to this platform for a very special award. Would you come, please? Whereas Hugh Rosenberg served with distinction as a student while pursuing his studies here at Central Bible College, and whereas he has continued to diligently pursue the call of God upon his life since graduation from Central Bible College in 1957, and whereas he has skillfully served the Assemblies of God Fellowship in various pastoral roles for more than 40 years, and has faithfully served Central Bible College as a member of the Board of Directors during his term of service, whereas he has earned the respect of ministerial colleagues throughout his anointed ministry and involvement in denominational activities, and whereas he has maintained a life of integrity before God and men, both publicly and privately, exemplifying the spirit of a true servant at all times. Therefore, be it resolved that Reverend Hugh Rosenberg, being a recipient of the 2007 Alumnus of the Year Award, presented by the Central Bible College Alumni Association, in recognition of the faithful ministry of an alumnus, and be it further resolved that on the occasion of the November 1, 2007 morning chapel of Central Bible College his outstanding leadership be appropriately recognized. To Hugh and Joni Rosenberg, we give this award. Someone told me the best thing that ever happened to Hugh while he was here is that he met his wife. And so we present it to the both of them. Let's give them a wonderful round of applause this morning.
Thank you, President Dembo, for that unbelievable gift of honor and recognition and praise that you've allowed us to experience and enjoy. I saw some of my classmates could not believe it, and they still don't believe it, that I really got that, so I'm glad we had a picture taken to prove to Dave Colonin and some of those guys, Bob Crabtree, my superintendent, lucky he even let me keep my credentials, but anyway, great to be here. What an exciting place to be. I thought, Steve, over there in the end, are you going to interview guys for a job tomorrow? I might apply. I think if some of these intern guys, I could run for a job out there and maybe they'd find something for me to do. Now, I'm told somewhere this morning there's going to be a picture of me, and I didn't do this, but don't let it throw you off. Turn in your Bibles, if you have a Bible with you this morning, to Job chapter 23. And you may be a generation that know the Bible by heart. And so some of these guys have been through all these kids' quiz programs, and they know all the Bible, so they can just quote it. But I still have to read it. And so Job chapter 23, verse number 10, and here's what it says. But I know the way I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. The Message puts it like this: but he knows where I am and what I've done. He can cross-examine me all he wants, and I'll pass the test with honors. The New Living Bible puts it like this: but he knows where I am going, and when he has tested me like gold in a fire, he will pronounce me innocent. Father, this morning I pray that the truth of those words will be indelibly implanted on the minds of those in this room today, specifically the students, that they will never, never, never forget the plan that you've established for them and how you will guide and direct it. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Now, first of all, let me say I'm not sure what alumni of the year means. I really don't know what that means or what I'm supposed to do with such an honor, but I got a plaque, and I got a picture, and I got a gold piece of glass with the world on it, and that's all I need. I know one thing, I don't deserve it, and but I'm grateful for those who have chosen to give me that privilege and that honor, and Joan and I are very grateful today. As I thought of the honor and reasoned, it must be because of the years of service lived in and for the Lord. Those years were greatly impacted by this institution and the influence that it's had upon my life. Unbelievable. And it's just a thrill to come back on campus and just let it all explode in your mind again. I came to Central Bible Institute 70 years ago. Now, I know most of you don't know I'm 90, but that's 70 years ago, 1937. I was 2 years of age. My mom and dad were driven from the farm in Kansas because of the Great Depression. And after my mom, his wife, and three boys losing everything. In fact, the government gave you $2 to shoot the cows, 50 cents to shoot the pigs, and get off of the farm. Earlier, at 18 years of age, he came in an old tent meeting in the draw out in western Kansas, gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, felt a call into the ministry. But he only had a sixth grade education because as a farm boy, you worked up till after November in the fields, and then you started again in March, and so school was during the holidays, and that's all he had. And thought he could not possibly obey the call in the ministry with a sixth grade education, and so got married and had these three boys. But God's call is not based on education. So forced by failure to leave the farm, he said yes to God's call, and with only enough gas and an old Model T Ford from western Kansas to Springfield, Missouri, and my grandmother had given him $20 to get started. Fred Vogler, former Kansas District Superintendent, had been elected to an office in Springfield, Missouri, so he had moved here for that position. When we moved here, right across that gas station over there, up on the hill, halfway up was a garage, car garage, dirt floor. We moved into that as our home. My mom and dad had two orange crates as chairs. My two brothers and myself slept on little mats on the ground. My mom worked for the GPH at 25 cents an hour. Ruth Vogler, Brother Vogler's daughter, said, "I don't want those boys to starve." And so she made arrangements through the CBI cafeteria to give us a loaf of bread and a quart of milk every day. We would walk up that trail over here to about where Flower Hall is, because that's where he lived, and we'd get our quart of milk and a loaf of bread every day. After a year of training, the Kansas District Superintendent said to my dad, "I think you can make it now." And so headed back to Kansas, western Kansas, to an old schoolhouse where they had three-seater desks. That became our church. They cleaned out a granary, and we moved into the granary. My older brother went to live with my grandmother because they could not feed all three of us. 15 years later, I returned to CBC, 1952. See, he knows the way I take. I wasn't the ideal student. I was put in bonehead English, they called it then, to teach me how to talk, because I failed the entrance exam. But you talk about a place with fun and excitement. I loved campus life. Probably my strongest prayer meeting was the first day at school when my mom and dad left me and went back to Kansas. I had a lump in my throat that about to choke to death, and my roommate was just as bad as I had never met him before, from Fort Smith, Arkansas. And so, not knowing actually how to even talk with the emotional appeal, we decided to go into our room and have a prayer meeting. What we did, we just bawled because our folks left and cried for about 3 and 4 hours and called it a prayer meeting. W.I. Evans was E.S. Williams, Robert Ashcroft, Robert Cummings, Glenn Reed, Brother Horton were some of my teachers. Great impact on our life, E.S. Williams. The old Army Chapel and the gym were the facilities that we used, and I remember so vividly as the president passed it by this morning, that three-week revival meeting, morning, noon, and night in the cafeteria, never stopped, never ended, something I'd never seen, experienced before, but impacted my life unbelievably. The barracks were our classrooms, and they had coal stoves, potbelly stoves in the middle, and the chimney went right up the stovepipe through the middle of the building. What caused the guy to do things like this, I did not know, but once in a while on the way to chapel, we would circle through and turn the flue sideways, and that would fill the room full of smoke, and you got out of class early. And so we just some of those things just happened with life and living. They had this snack shop. It was affectionately known by us as the slop shop, but that's where we hung out. I was riding high, having a time of my life, just below Central Assembly on Boonville Street. They had a motorcycle shop. Maybe that'll make the motorcycle shot. I don't know this where it comes from. And And you could rent motorcycles and just go for it. And so four or five of us didn't have much sense, but we did have enough money to rent a motorcycle. And off we would go to Roaring River and Branson. And on you ought to try that on two-lane highways in the old days. You could airborne on every lump. I mean, she could just we let her fly, and what great times we had. That Indian Chief motorcycle was in the shop, and I asked about it, and they said it belongs to the missions department of the Assemblies of God, the Speed the Light department. Someone had given it for missions, and so they fixed it up first class, and then they decided not to send it to Africa because if it broke down, it would be hopeless, and so we'll sell it and get a couple smaller bikes for missionaries overseas. I found out that Don Malo was the director of Speed the Light, and so I made arrangements to go see him and see about the possibilities of buying it. So being a freshman student, he was very sympathetic, and I bought that motorcycle for $375. Now, that was the beginning of my journey with missions and also a lot of special meetings with the CBC administration. I felt humanly inspired, not divinely inspired, but humanly inspired to leave my mark on the campus at CBC sidewalk. So in front of John Welch Hall over here, one night, Friday, about 12 a.m., with the encouragement of some of my fellow ministerial students, I gave it everything it had, and I left a streak all the way from there to the water tower. And that was the end of the motorcycle on the campus at CBC. I had to keep it off. I've had the privilege of hauling some great celebrities. John Ashcroft was a junior high kid, and every time he saw me, he had to have a ride. It's lucky he's alive today, but anyway, I gave him a ride. When I could no longer ride across the campus, I decided, well, let's fly. One of my friends, his dad had the Dairy Queen franchise for the five southern states, and they had an airplane with a Dairy Queen on the side of it. And so Bruce said, hey, let's go for a ride. I said, I'm with you. And I got in the front seat, and two other guys got in the back. And we went out, and he took it as high as it would go. And then the stalling light began to blink like that. And then he turned it, and he said, let's buzz the school. And I said, let's go. And we were running about 300 miles an hour, and we came between the water tower and John Welch Hall. Now, in that day, all the students lined up out on the yard, and man, you ought to see them scatter. I mean, it was unbelievable. They were gone. We circled around back over to the airport, and every bubblegum machine in the state of Missouri, I think, was at the airport with that red light blinking on top of it. And when they got off the plane, they gave us little silver bracelets on our arms, and said, we said, hey, I said, no, all I was doing was just riding. I was just riding. I wasn't doing. And so they kept Bruce. Bruce was the pilot, and he was the one that they, actually, Bruce went on to become a jet pilot. And Bruce also, Glenn Cole's church in Sacramento, California, was one that several million dollars worth of property gave as a donation toward the church out there. See, he knoweth the way I take. My next year, I met the perfect student. She was a Canadian. She got straight A's, played the organ in the chapel. In fact, the first time I met her, one of my friends from California said, have you met the new girl from Canada? I said, no. He said, hey, I'll introduce you to her. We went over to the shop over here, and she had a key to the organ in the chapel. And so he said, let's go over and let her just play some music for us. And we went over, and she played the Indian love call. I wasn't Indian, but I felt the call, I can tell you that. She was in Revival Time Choir. She was in the Revival Time Trio, and a little later on, she played for the Revival Time broadcast. It's true that opposites attract. She worked on me that next year, and my grades even improved a little bit, yet I had a long way to go, but at least I was going in the right direction. The next year, we felt that we were meant for each other, and so I asked E.S. Williams if we could get engaged. He was the dean of the school at that time, got permission. And so on Valentine's Eve, right out there under that water tower that used to stand over there, I had gone down to Fairman's on the square and bought a $125 wedding ring and engagement ring, and I gave it to her. We knew the rules were that you could not get married during the school year, and we understood that. But Joan's parents were not Pentecostal. In fact, they were very opposed to it, but they let her come to CBC because they were impressed that their daughter could go to America for her college education. But when she told them of our engagement, the wheels fell off of the wagon. They blew up, became very angry, harsh letters, and just sent a message that your dad is coming to get you and you will be taken out of school. Now that's a problem. She was only had a green card and to be in the U.S., and if she lost that and left, she wouldn't be back. So that forced us to make some decisions, and my mom and dad pastored in Kansas, so we made a trip to Kansas to ask them about what they thought if we quit school and got married. My folks liked her better than they did me anyhow, so that was not a big decision for them. And they said, if you think you're really in love, it's okay with us. So back to CBC to tell the school that we're getting married and dropping out of school. Now that started a wild week of trauma. The school administration said, no way, you can't. I said, we are. And we had meetings daily. They would meet with Joan because they thought they could talk her out of it. And all they would say to me is, we'll change your classification and you'll be on your way to Korea. Because that was in the day when we had a 4F and then they were going to make me 1A. And the president took a very hard stance and understandably in his position. He said, we'll expel you. And I said, you can't. I've already quit. And so the whole campus got involved. They announced that if anyone would go to our wedding or be in our wedding, they'd be expelled and put out of school. Then finally they announced in chapel that nobody could come. We had picked a new church down here on Benton and Calhoun, 3 miles east of the GPH. It was just a brand new building. It wasn't malicious. It was just a building that looked nice, so we thought we'd pick that. And otherwise, they said you wouldn't be able to be married in the Assembly of God church because we'd made a mistake. We'd gotten one that wasn't Assembly of God, and we just got by. It just worked that way. In 1 week, we had wedding announcements, both because the kids that worked in the printing shop printed our wedding announcements here at school. The photographer for the cup, he said, I'll take your pictures. He used the school camera and took our pictures. And in 7 days' time from getting back, we had the whole full thing. Joan had gotten my sister-in-law's wedding, and they had cut it up and made it so it was fit for her. And Sunday night before the Monday wedding, Joan played the piano for revival time. The president was the announcer of the program, and E.M. Clark was the director. And C.M. Ward whispered to me, he says, love will win out. And that's end of that night. And Monday at 7, hundreds of kids came to our wedding. Many of the faculty came to our wedding. E.M. Clark, the director of Revival Time, opened his house for a reception for our wedding. And after the wedding's over, you get in these cars, you know, and ride the bridegroom around and such as that. Well, my friend at school was as nutty as I was, and we got in the back of his old Buick, and he thought he was going to be kicked out anyhow because he was in the wedding, so we decided to just ride through the campus. And we came. In that day, you could come right across the front and go down in front of Welch Hall because there wasn't a library, there wasn't a W.I. Evans Hall. And we had, you'd think it was a presidential parade. I mean, there's so many cars in that line, honking cars. See, he knoweth the way I take. Now, the real issue is the school didn't know the family issues about Pentecost, who chose to oppose our decision. My Kansas district superintendent learned so much from him. V.G. Grayson was watching from several hundred miles away what was happening and taking place. We took our honeymoon and went to Killeen, Texas, where my brother was in the Army. What a great place to be in an Army barracks on your honeymoon in a Killeen, Texas. I mean, that's like going to Iraq, if you want to know what that's like. We came back up to Springfield, and there was a National Sunday School event going on, and Brother Grayson asked if he could take us to dinner at the headquarters hotel. And when we walked in, the president that had just been through the conflict with us was sitting at a table with a group of people, and he said to the waitress, he says, "Get us a table as close to theirs as you can get." His desire was to restore credibility in us as worthwhile people. Never forget that. I learned something from that, and I've written many letters over the years to senior pastors to say, take it on the chin instead of hang it on the young people that are on your staff. Then he said, "Would you travel with us?" And he said, "You can drive my car, and I'm doing some district meetings." And he said, "We'll be gone about 3 weeks." He said, "Joan can play the piano and sing, and you can lead the song service." Cyril McClellan had taught me 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So I had that much of it down on a 4-4 song. And so we did. And he had a brand new Packard. And man, to get a drive Packard in that day, you don't even know what that is, but that was class, man. Big green Packard. So out across Kansas, we began to travel with him. And about the second weekend, we'd been holding business meetings and went into a little town called Plainville, Kansas. And that Friday night, they voted out the pastor, and the pastor wasn't happy, and it was Friday night, and Sunday was Easter. Brother Grayson said, "The pastor will be here Sunday," and he just stood up and says, "I'll be out of here," and Brother Grayson said, "No," and he said, "I'll be out of here," and Brother Grayson says, "Then why don't you go right now?" And so he walked on out of the church, slammed the door. I thought the building would fall down. And the saints said, not very many of them, but that was the crowd, and they said, "What are we going to do for a pastor?" And Brother Grayson said, "Isn't it amazing? I have this young couple with me." And they said, "Well, will they take it?" He says, "Why don't you vote and see?" So they voted unanimously, and he says, "You're their pastor." And so Friday night, Easter Sunday morning, I was pastor. So within 41 days of not knowing where or what would happen to us, I was pastor of Plainville Assembly of God, Plainville, Kansas. 18 months later, Brother Grayson says, "Now, Hugh," he said, "be a man." And he said, "Resign the church and go back to school and finish." That's why 1957 was our year of graduation instead of 55. From there, went on the evangelistic field. And finally, 1959 to Cincinnati. 1961, we started Tri-County Assembly of God under the theme, "The Cincinnati Story." Pastored it for 41 years. 40 years as district missionary secretary in Ohio. And during those 40 years, over 350 kids have gone into full-time ministry as pastors, evangelists, missionaries, professors in Bible school, as well as television program and stations that they own around the world. We have given literally millions of dollars to missions. Last year, we were number 6 in the fellowship of 1,300,000. I was in Omaha for a missions convention last weekend, and Brad called, and he said, "Dad, you hear about our faith promise?" I said, "No." He said, "They're over 1.5 million this past 2 weeks ago in our missions convention." Our daughter's a missionary. Our granddaughter's a missionary. 8 missionary couples are out of our church. And, of course, Brad, now our senior pastor. He knows the way I take. Now, you say, why have I shared all this with you? Why? Because God has a plan for you. It may seem at times it's going wrong. It may seem like it got messed up. It may look like you won't make it. But if he is truly your heart's desire and you're willing to follow him, he will lead you to come forth as gold. He has blessed us beyond measure to think. Now, I look at some of my classmates here, to think that I was privileged to serve on the CBC board for 12 years. That's just amazing. Nobody knows how amazing that is except me. We have had over 70 students attend Central Bible College, including the coach and his wife over here, and I could tell you a lot about the coach and his wife if you'd like for me to. I knew him all the way through, and he's not near as tough as he looks. And so CBC has been an impact on the way he took us. Times I didn't understand why, the difficulties, the confusion, now I know. I needed that testing and process as it was the preparation for 50 years of pastoring, because again and again and again, I would face a crisis, a situation that was life or death, sink or swim, make you or break you. God blessed our church in an amazing way. In the first 10 years, it grew to become the number one missions church in the state of Ohio. It grew to be the largest Assembly of God church in the state of Ohio. One of our ministers wrote a book, 10 at the Top, and we were chosen to be one of the 10 top churches of our great fellowship at that time. I was blessed to serve on Dr. Cho's church growth board for a number of years, privilege of speaking in that great church, the world's largest church. I was given an honorary doctorate from the Graduate School of Theology, H.D. London. That's another amazing thing, especially when you start going head English. We were privileged to partner in building the Calcutta Mission of Mercy board for Dr. Montaigne and raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for Mark and Hulda. These were honors beyond measure, but there were also tragedies and heartaches beyond measure. In the 70s, we were running 3 morning worship services and 2 Sunday night services. We had to break ground for a new sanctuary. It would be 116,000 square feet. It would seat 3,500 people, third largest sanctuary or seating capacity building in greater Cincinnati. We were our own contractors, estimated cost $3 million. And then came Job's years. That's why I chose Job 23:10. General Motors, a mile and a half from our church, closed. They made the Cadillacs and the Buicks. We'd had our fundraising program. We'd pledged $1,900,000 toward our $3 million building. When that plant closed, 100 of our congregation left, and 1 million of our pledges went with them. The soil under the foundation for the sanctuary was not soil-bearing. You're going to have to dig it all out and compact it back. And so I figured if you dig it all out, why compact it back? Just pour another slab. So that made it twice as big. That increased the cost another $1 million. The economic disaster, interest went up to 23% on our $3 million loan. And because of the shortage of materials, 3 years in that waiting time, the interest increased our debt $1 million. Everything went from bad to worse, and in 24 months, our $3 million project had turned into a $7 million building program. Our congregation then was shaken by the national disaster. We were the Charismatic Church of Greater Cincinnati, and our national evangelist was reaching the world like no one had ever reached it before, been with us on many occasions, and was supposed to be with us 3 weeks after this thing transpired. PTL's national failure, and because of those disasters, we had 300 giving units leave our church overnight. Our weekly offerings were running $38,000 to $40,000 a week. They went down to $11,000 a week. Our monthly payment was $46,000, and our total income wasn't even $40,000. We were fighting pornography as a home base there in Cincinnati, and tragically, one of my own staff became involved with little children. And we had a lawsuit hung over us that was so big that you could not believe. Those testing times at CBC in 1955 were training times for the real life we were to face. We were told you're not going to make it, and we were smart enough to kind of figure that out. Not in discouragement through district officials, through general counsel officials. Then one day, when it seemed like there was no way out, I was watching TV. I saw on the news, it said there's a couple standing in the picture, and they had a grandson who had cancer in his arm. And the doctor said they're going to cut the shoulder and the arm off to get rid of the cancer. He's only 9 years of age. And the family says, no, we're not going to allow you to do that. We're going to believe in healing. And the doctor says, no, we're not going to let you let this boy go through this. We're going to cut it off. And it became a legal battle, and so they had security guards on each side of the hospital room because they thought they might take the boy out and go to Mexico. I saw it on TV, and I was moved by what I saw, and I didn't know the people, never heard of them, but I felt like I'm going to go to Children's Hospital and just let them know. We'll be standing with you and pray. Went down there, introduced myself, told them Hugh Rosenberg from Tri-County Assembly of God. We believe in healing. We'll stand with you on behalf of little David's physical body. They thanked me. Never met him before, never been in our church. Left and was gone. 2 weeks later, the telephone rang. The grandfather said little David died. Said, could we have the funeral at your church? I said, I'd be honored. He said, by the way, would you do the funeral? I said, I'd be counted a privilege to share in any way I could. Church was filled. The media was there. Everything because of all that would take place. After the service was over, the granddad came up to me and handed me a check. Wasn't in an envelope or anything. And what you're not supposed to do, but I just turned it over and looked at it, and we almost had another funeral. I almost died. It's $50,000. Now, I'd had $25 checks for a funeral and $5, but not $50,000 for a funeral. Of course, it was for the church. Then he asked me, he says, how's the church doing? And, you know, you don't say too much at a funeral when you've lost a grandson. I said, well, just a little bit. And he said, why don't you pay the bank off and get them off your back? I said, yeah, sure. $3 million, and I can't even pay the utility bill. He said, if I gave you a check, would you pay them off tomorrow? I said, would I? I'd be there before they opened up. He said, I'll bring you a check tomorrow. You don't have to pay me back if you can't. No interest. See you tomorrow. Next day he came with a little check just like you and I have in our checkbooks. $3 million. Now the thing I like about it was in his wife's name. I like that. My kind of a man. It was on her account, not on her account. I took it to the bank, and the bank said, where'd you get this? I said, a man gave it to me. He said, sure. I said, yeah, yeah. A man gave it to me. I said, what kind of a contract or agreement or such? I said, he didn't, nothing. He just gave it to me. They looked at me, yeah. And they had a few little backroom meetings, and they were discussing whether this was drug money or not. So where else would you get $3 million just like that when we'd been negotiating not having to make the payments? See, he knows where I am and what I've done. And when he's tested you. Today, Tri-County Assembly is debt-free. We paid him back totally plus interest and off the whole $7 million. We're blessed with one of the greatest facilities in our land. My dream was if Brad, my son, was chosen to follow me, that I could hand that church over to him debt-free. I never knew one day of ministry as a pastor not being in debt. Must be nice, Brad, to have a church where you don't have any debt. The church has honored me beyond measure, but the greatest thrill is they elected my son Brad as pastor, and I still get to be involved. Now, all I'm saying, God has a plan for you. He knows the way you take. It will have tests and trials. There'll be a lot of them, but he will bring you through. You will come forth. And I just say, students, don't let anything stop you from doing his will and his plan. Don't let money. That's one of the big barriers today. You get frightened over money. He has the cattle on a thousand hills. Don't let opposition, and there'll be plenty of opposition. Don't let circumstances that just don't add up to make sense. And don't let impossibilities, because he specializes in possibilities. He knows the way for you, and he will bring it. It may take 50 years. I do not know. I wouldn't trade anything for the journey that I've traveled. Sometimes it seemed unbearable, but the race is worth the run. Let me tell you, the first 20 years, nothing went wrong. Everything just seemed like it fell from heaven, unbelievably. The next 10 years, nothing went right, and it seemed like it's impossible to survive. You say, what were the best years of your ministry? Those 10 years when only God could keep you afloat. Only God could bring you through. Today, there are multitudes around the world as part of our family, from these 350 kids that are in the ministry around the world. Each Sunday, somewhere between 20 and 30,000, if you put them together, not including the television stuff, indirectly we're tied into that family. One thing I'll just say to you students today, don't give up. When everybody else lets you down, don't give up. And I always cringe at this. I hear statements like this, you know, pastors always resign on Monday morning. I never, ever once on a Monday morning said, I'm resigning or quitting. I've said I'd like to die. I just simply say this. Know what you're called to do and do it. Do it. No matter how, what, high water, makes no difference. Just do it. And he will bring you through. He knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, he'll come forth as gold. I think Andre Crouch, and forgive me for a moment over probably captured, he said, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. Wow. How well I know that. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. And I ask you to bow, stand with me and bow your heads if you will, please. I just want to say something to you as students, if I can take this mic here. Is this on? I sat in that seat that you're in. I'm not sure then whether I knew up and down, but I did love Jesus, and I did want to follow him. And I wouldn't be one that would be picked. And you may be here today and you feel the same way. I didn't sing any solos nor dance in any parades. I just made streaks across the sidewalk. But God's got a place for you. You may even wonder, can I even finish out another year? I don't know whether I'm going to do, I'm going to graduate, where I'm going to go. All I ask you to do, and if we have a moment, to walk down to this altar, say, God, you can count on me. I'll be there. I don't care whether I'm first or last, at the front or at the end bottom. Here am I. Use me. And God's got a plan. He knows the way you take. And when he's tested you, and when you're finished, you're going to come forth pure as gold. He'll pronounce you innocent. Yours is the victory. This morning, if you're just a little bit discouraged or not sure, wondering which way to go, I'm just going to ask you to just kind of run down here and just stand at this altar. Will you do it? Just come and say, God, I want to be used by you. I want to be used by you. I want my life to count for your kingdom. That's right. Just push your way in. Push your way in. This can be a turning moment in your life. I can remember it so vividly in my life. Well, some of you just kind of come and lay hands on him and say, God, today, he knows where you are, what you're traveling, and what's going on. Lift your hands and say, God, you can count on me. I will, I will, I will be faithful to the end. Close your eyes. Say, here it is. Through it all. Through it all. Just lift hands toward heaven. God's got great things for you. Go ahead and sing. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands. Let the tears flow. Say, God, can you use me? Can you use me? I'm willing. Here am I. Thank you, God. Touch these lives. Touch these young people, God. You have such great things in store for them. You have such great plans for them. Touch them today, God. Touch them this morning, Lord. I pray.
God, that you would touch them in a powerful way. Thank you, God. Here I am. Use me. Use me, Lord. Here am I. Use me. Touch him, God. Touch him. Just give it all to him. Give it all to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Only you can see what you have in store. Touch him today. Touch him today. Touch him today, Lord. Touch him today. Touch him today. Thank you, Jesus. Touch him today. When it's impossible, you make it possible. You make a way where there is no way. You make a way where there is no way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make a commitment, kids.